wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Here is my final message. Who can help the dead? Can priest or preacher? Can church or lodge? To read of many dying with cancer is one thing, but to see your dearly loved daughter in the agony of that deadly disease, that distresses beyond words to express. And to read in the Bible of the many going down that broad road to hellfire, and of their torment in those everlasting burnings, that is solemn. But when you see your loved daughter among that many, and think of her begging for just one drop of water to cool her tongue, that is the anguish of hopeless despair. Satan is the great imitator of God. He can appear as an angel of light, and he can quote scripture, as he did when he tempted our Lord Jesus. And since Christ has his church, the devil has his church too. He wants his church to be immensely rich, to display her royal splendors. This will take money and plenty of it. To get big grabs from the rich will not suffice, so he will get the last crumb from the poor as well. So he preaches like this: you people know you're not good enough for God's heaven, and you're not bad enough for a hell fire. So there is a place where people go when they die, we call purgatory. There they are purified by fire to make them fit for heaven. As is a very painful experience, we ought to try and make their stay there very short. This we do by our priests praying for the dead, and they also say masses for the dead. All this only our priests can do, and is very hard on them. So our church requires a sum of money for this ministry for the dead. The larger the sum, the more prayers and masses. Thus the devil's sermon goes. And when people are in grief over their dead relatives, they will give their last bit of money to try and help their dead. And so the devil fills the treasury of his church by their imaginary purgatory that has not a word of Holy Scripture to support it. Our Lord Jesus told us the truth, and he said of one man that in his death he would go immediately that very day to paradise. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And of another man, the Son of God said, "The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried, 'I'm tormented in this flame.'" Neither man had any stopover at a purgatory, for there is no purgatory, nor has there ever been one. Purgatory is just another lie of Satan that enriches his church and makes poor people the poorer. If you want to see poor people in their deep distress, visit countries where the devil's lie of purgatory holds sway. You'll see big rich cathedrals while the streets are lined with poor people living day and night in sin and beggarly wretchedness. And so bewitched by the devil's lies, they will do without food to pay into the devil's church. The dead are themselves hopeless, as the Bible says, having no hope, and they cannot help themselves. Though they cry for mercy, their cry is too late, and no one can help them, no priest or preacher, and no church or lodge, for they are in God's hands for his judgment. The Holy Spirit has allowed me to pass through this heartbreaking experience. So, since I cannot now help my loved one, I will the more earnestly warn those on that broad road of sin, as they are charmed by the world, deceived by religion, and blinded by Satan, while they race down to that awful furnace of fire, hell. Oh, my neighbor, if you're in that crowd, I plead with you to flee from the wrath to come and prepare to meet thy God. in sincere repentance, do call on the Lord Jesus to save you, and do it right now. For just ahead is that warned of hellfire, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why go any longer with that crowd of the doomed and the damned to hellfire, when you can instead be one of those rescued and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and saved to live for God here on earth, and then to be welcomed home to heaven to sing the praise of that wonderful Lord, Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and my Savior. Oh, how I long that you can join me in this, so you can say, and he's my Lord and my Savior too. Amen. But remember, you must first go to God on your own will and your own decision, not going by the persuasion of some church member drive, nor going along with someone else, but just standing alone as the sinner, lost in your own sins. When God sees you walk that lonely path, whether to a shed, a room, or a woods, to be alone with God, and when God hears your confession of being the self-willed, God-defiant rebel that deserves only his wrath and judgment, and when God sees your broken spirit of humble submission, and those tears of shame and despair as you beg God to show you mercy for Jesus' sake, then you will feel the tender warmth of God's love as his heart is moved with compassion for you. And then, as you cry to the Lord Jesus to save you, you, the helpless and hopeless sinner, as you now confess your submission to him as your Lord to obey him, and as you cling to him in faith as your Savior to trust in him alone, then the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see the real meaning of that awful suffering of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary. So you will cry, Lord Jesus, thou art the Son of God who loved me and gave thyself for me. I thank thee. I love thee. Please take me to be thine own forever. His voice will then assure you, I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine eternally. I'll never cast you out. It will be just like as you clasp his blessed feet, he will lift you up and press you to his heart in tender love. It'll all be so real to you as it was to me 67 years ago. You will say, I am my Lord's and he is mine. Then, from that day, yours is a solemn responsibility of walking worthy of that name you bear, a Christian. That's one who belongs to Jesus Christ. And yours it is to forsake all ungodliness and live a life pleasing to God. And in serving the Lord Jesus, you witness both by your life lived and your word spoken before all men, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. These messages are given by the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.